Our children, Pastor Donnie, we'll let our children be dismissed at this time. May the Lord bless. They're not leaving. This is wonderful. We need to pray for Pastor Justin. He called me last night, and he's under the weather this morning, some kind of stomach bug. And it was very honestly a big letdown to me because I was looking forward to hearing him. So I know it's a big letdown to you guys this morning that you're going to have to hear me. But that'll be fine. That'll be fine. We'll live through it. We'll live through it, y'all. Just don't take it to heart too bad. Don't take it to heart too bad. Before we begin, let's bow our heads and hearts and ask the Lord's blessing. Our Father, we thank you for your love toward us today. Thank you for the glorious gift of your Son. Oh, how we love him. How we adore him. Lord, you're our everything, and we delight in you today. We bless you for the opportunity to stand today and ask for your grace in the midst. We pray for our dear brother Justin and ask, Lord, that you would heal him and strengthen him in his body. Lord, return him to us safe and sound. Lord, we bless you. We love you. We thank you for your love toward us today. Bless the message as we speak it. Lord, tune us to sing your praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 7. We're on about the 40th lesson at the nursing home on John chapter 7. It'll probably take me about 3 years to get through John. And that's all right. That's all right. We've endeavored on some long studies. I was right at 3 years going through the Psalms, which was quite an amazing event in itself. And I look back to it and almost would like to have started the very next day. I'd like to have gone right back to Psalm 1 and started all over again, because it was such a blessed time and enjoyed it so much. John chapter 7, begin reading in verse 37, and we're beginning reading in 37 to sort of set the context a little bit. Our Lord Jesus had come to the Feast of the Tabernacles. He had come from Galilee, over near the Sea of Galilee, from Cana of Galilee. He's come to Jerusalem to the Feast of the Tabernacles, and the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees were waiting for him. They were waiting for him. They were going to take this puppy and get him. And they were going to arrest him and try him. If they could, they were going to kill him. And so he subtly walks to Jerusalem and comes in sort of covertly. And then someone hides himself. But then he goes into the midst and he teaches in the temple on the last day of the feast, let's begin reading in verse 37. And on the last day, which was a Sabbath day, the final day of the feast. It was 8 days of the feast. It began on a Saturday and ended on a Saturday, which they were the Saturday Sabbath there. And in the last day, that great feast day, day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Now we know, because we've read Matthew chapter 1, 2, and 3, and Luke chapters 1, 2, and 3, that Jesus didn't come out of Galilee. He came out of what? Bethlehem. He came out of Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem. But they didn't know that. These guys didn't know it. Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Had not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Verse 45, setting the story right here. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, the chief priests said unto the officers, why have you not brought him? And the officers answered, and this is a beautiful answer, by the way, I've probably rehearsed this many, many times, they said, never a man spake like this man. Never a man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Then Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them. Doth our law judge any man before it hear him or know what he doeth? And this verse 51 right here is in many ways a foundation stone in the American system of justice, that you are innocent until you are proven guilty. In so many nations of our world, you're guilty and then you have to prove your innocence. But here it's just the opposite. And we glory in that. It's just the opposite. Because you're not guilty before the civil authorities. You are innocent until you are proven guilty. And so that is the way it is. Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and knoweth what he doeth? Says Nicodemus. They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee arises no prophet. And every man went into his own house. We're going to go back to verse 46 where the officers answered and said, never a man spake like this man. We know the context. But never a man spake like this man. Can you imagine these officers, and these very well could have been Roman soldiers. We don't really know. They call them officers here. So that might have been that they were just officers of the chief priests and the scribes. They might have been the guards to the temple. I don't really know the situation. I don't think any man can affirmatively say. But they were officers of the civil court. They were civil officers, and they had been sent by the chief priests and the Pharisees to arrest Jesus and bring him unto them. And they get there, and I don't know exactly how they got distracted from their job, but they got distracted, and they began to listen to Jesus. They began to listen unto him. And they evidently forgot where they were. They forgot what they were sent for. They forgot what they were doing. And they did not arrest our Lord. They did not follow their orders. And when they answered and said to the Pharisees and to the chief priest that never a man spake like this man, they summed it all up. We were overwhelmed with his words. We sang wonderful words of life this morning because when I get to the nursing home, no one knows what I'm going to speak about. But Ginger Haley said, sing wonderful words of life. And when she said that and I sang that, I said, that's very applicable this morning to what I want to say. For never a man spake like our Lord. I take this text this morning. I've been in the pulpit of this church for over 35 years, probably 36, 7, 8. I'm not sure. The days slip away so quickly. But I have never preached on this particular sermon, service, this particular series of verses right here. And I know why. It's because I've never systematically gone through the book of John. I've been topical in many, many years. I was just topical. And that's all right. But going through books disciplines you. It makes you stop and look at every word, everything that's said. And it's been a blessing to me this morning to reflect upon the message and last night to reflect upon the message as to how we preach today. So the first thing I see here in this particular thing is that the mixing of the civil with the religious. This is common in a lot of countries. That the countries are ruled not so much by the civil authorities, but by the churches in many ways. In most cases, the Roman Catholic Church has been a very good illustration of this down through the years. They would rule the emperors and the kings because they would say to them, we hold in our hands eternal life. And you don't hold nothing in your hands but the physical life of the people. Matter of fact, in the days of the Reformation, the emperors and the kings would bow to the dictates of the Pope and the church at that time. And they, in so many ways, this is a no-no. 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 We don't mix the civil and the spiritual. The church is in a bad way when we go out and we're lobbying we're lobbying the civil government to pass a law so David Rickman will pay his tithes at the church like he ought to. You know, I mean, it's something like that. I mean, it's amazing how they did that. And in that day, this is an illustration of that. They sent out the civil authorities to arrest Jesus, and yet they couldn't arrest him. They turned away and said no. Now, later they did. And so we say, why? It was not this time, but that's exactly why. Because it was not our Lord's time. It was not his time. As mentioned several times in the passages, they sent officers after officers. They snuck around trying to catch him time and time and time again, but they did not take him. There had to come a time in which our Lord would be taken by the scribes and the Pharisees and tried. It was not his time yet, which means tremendously his great authority. And so we see that first in a little passage of Scripture, but then we want to look at, I guess we could say we're going to look at the Lord's eloquence, the Lord's qualities of eloquence. I don't really like to use that word because our Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. Every word that he says, whether with a lot of inflection or with a lot of passion or just with monotone voice, are the words of truth and life unto us, and they are eloquent just because of where they came from. But our Lord Jesus, we want to look at this just a moment in regard to his eloquence. The very best of the Lord's preachers down through the years fall way short of the Prince of Preachers, Jesus Christ the Lord. He's the one who stood when he proclaimed truth. Men were arrested right there on the spot. And we're thankful for that. These men said, never a man spake like this man spake. The Song of Solomon says, his lips are like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His lips are like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. And so we see our Lord's eloquence in that. We see that he was very clear to the hearer. He was not one that, how shall I say, he didn't mince words. He didn't try to make things unclear. Clarity was a centerpiece of what he had to say. No one missed his words. Children could understand. His rhetoric was not high and fluty. When I went to auction school, and this is a sort of a little side note, when I went to auction school, Jim was about 2. We left him with me, Ma, and Pa, and Linda stayed with me, Ma, and Pa, while I was gone for 3 weeks to Decatur, Indiana, to auction school, to Repert Auction School. The reason I went to Repert Auction School, there's all kinds of auction schools, but I went there because my dad went to Repert Auction School, and he only goes to the best. And so he said, you're going to Repert Auction School, so I went to Repert Auction School. We got there. And the old man Chapey, said, don't use big words as an auctioneer. Use words like a preacher should use. Put the gold of the gospel on the low shelves. So like we say, we put the cookies on the lower shelves, you know. Put the golden ore of the gospel on the lower shelves so everyone that hears can hear. And our Lord was abundantly clear in doing that. He spoke to the intellectual crowd. He spoke to the highfalutin bunch, but he used simple words. He would talk about eggs. He would talk about fishes. He would talk about candles. He would talk about bushels. He would talk about sweeping houses, ladies. He'd talk about sweeping houses. Looking for gold coins, by the way. Go sweep your house looking for gold coins. He spoke about finding sheep. He used very simple phrases in what he had to do. It was abundantly clear. It could be said that under common men, he used common sense and just spoke their language. And they loved him for it. But amazingly enough, these officers were of that same mindset when they came. And listen to him. They said, oh, this man, when he speaks, you listen. Never a man spake like this man. They heard him gladly. The Lord here shows in so many ways how to speak to an elementary hearer. And when we preach the gospel, it should be in such a way that even the smallest child would understand the words that we say. But he was the Prince of Preachers. He was the one that shared the words. It was abundantly clear. But even though it was clear, it was with authority. It was with authority. Our Lord always spoke with authority. Matter of fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, the first sermon you read in the New Testament of our Lord, the great sermon, it ended with them saying, and he spoke not as the scribes and the Pharisees, for he spoke with authority. In other words, he didn't say things like, well, it may be so. Or, it can be proven. It's highly probable. He didn't speak like that. He would say things like this. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you. He spoke with authority. And I can see where those officers, when they came, they said, oh my goodness, never a man spake like that man. He spoke with such authority. He spoke with so much more authority than the scribes and the chief priests did when they spoke to us about coming and arresting him. He spoke with authority. And yet, even with authority, his words were meekness and lowliness of heart. Those are the only two words that the Lord Jesus uses in all of the Bible to describe himself. Others described him, but in describing himself, he says of himself, I am meek and lowly of heart. So even though he spoke with authority, he spoke with great lowliness and with great meekness. He was always lowliness of heart, not seeking self. And he would almost self-abase himself. He would almost abase himself rather than elevate himself. Seemed like he was never proud. And though he knew who he was, he knew he was the very Son of God. He knew that he had been anointed to come with a message to hearers today in this world and that day in his world, to speak the wonderful words of life, words of life and beauty, teach us faith and duty. We're to hear those words. We're to hear those words. He was never of a superiority air. He didn't wear a priestly robe. I somewhat struggle with vestments. There's a lot of churches that I commend and count it a great blessing to have been in days gone by, but the guys wear vestments. They put on their priestly robes. Wearing credentials. Our Lord didn't wear credentials. The only credentials he wore were those of a meek and quiet spirit. Those were his credentials. And though anointed by God from heaven to be his messenger, his servant, his son, he spoke the truth. He knew the word truth. He did not debate. He declared. He didn't debate. He didn't try to argue a point with someone. He just declared the truth. That's just the way it was. His sermons were not guesses, but testimonies. Better said, testimonials. I mean, he was sharing the truth with people, and he knew the truth. He didn't have to separate or mince words. He didn't. He knew the truth. And also, his words were a combination of faithfulness and tenderness. He spoke with great faithfulness and courage to the scribes and the Pharisees and yea, those who were hypocrites. He did not mince words about judgment and hell. I've run into people in days gone by who say that they don't believe in hell. Y'all have probably run into those guys before. How can a loving God have a hell? And then you quickly ask back, say, well, do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. Well, that immediately is a contradiction, because the Lord Jesus was the one who spoke of judgment and eternal separation from God more than anyone else did. It was Jesus who spoke of hell. He was the one who spoke of where the fire is never quenched and the worm dieth not. He was the one who spoke of these things. And he's a faithful witness. He, with great faithfulness, stood right in their faces. No winking at wickedness. He stood his ground. He never bowed to the great nor pandered to the crowd. He told it like it was. He spoke with great authority, but yet with great faithfulness and tenderness, declaring the end of the wicked, proclaiming these things that are tough for us to proclaim. I have never relished in speaking about his judgments, the judgments of the last day. I've never relished in doing that. I don't think any preacher does delight in or anything, but our Lord very clearly and faithfully and yet with tenderness shared unto those, flee from the wrath to come. The wrath is coming. You're to flee. You're to flee. He was also affectionate in all that he did. It said of him that he would not bruise the frailest reed. So he was tender. He was tender in what he did. His words were tender. He was mindful of the least good, and he could see in a man and yet would smite hypocrisy without wherever he saw it. He would smite hypocrisy. But yet he would see good. He was full of zeal and yet patience. His zealousness consumed him. It said that the zeal for the Lord's house consumed him. His father's glory, he yearned for his father's glory in everything that he did. He was not afraid of the Herodians when they came to him and they wanted to trick him, twist him up, said, "Master, are we to pay tribute unto the Roman government? Are we to pay tribute?" Our Lord doesn't get twisted up. He said, "No, show me a coin." And he said, "Whose picture is on that coin?" And he said, "Well, Caesar's." "We'll render unto Caesar's that which is Caesar's, and unto God's that which is God's." He didn't get tripped up. He didn't get tripped up. When the Sadducees came, they tried to challenge him and entangle him in his speech, but he didn't do it. No help. Question would arise. If the Lord didn't want to answer the question, he'd just ask a question back. Never a man was able to stand in the midst of such heat as he did, and yet so calmly and so graciously. Never a man spake like this man spoke. And in his speaking, the love for the people were very evident in all that he did. Our Lord came and he wept over Jerusalem. I can see him right now doing that. You send that heel and you sort of see Jerusalem off in the distance. And he wept for Jerusalem. This was the city of God. This is where his father had placed his name for thousands of years. And he wept over Jerusalem because they had walked away from God, walked away from him. He had no pretended affections. His affections were real. When they brought people who were sick to him, he healed them. He didn't turn anybody down. Repeatedly in the Word of God it says, and he healed them all. He didn't turn them down. His love was real. When he fed the 5,000, he didn't get out to the last few and say, "I'm sorry, guys, there's not enough for y'all." He didn't do that. He didn't go through the crowd and say, "Well, you qualify and you don't qualify, you faithless wretch over here, you don't get nothing." He fed them all. He fed them all. His love was widespread and was very evident before the eyes of those. He was fully dogmatic and yet fully in love with those who he ministered to. And I'm thankful for that today. Never a man spake like this man, even our Lord and our Savior. Our Lord was a preacher whose head was in his heart and whose heart was in his head. It wasn't an intellectual presentation of information. It was always with full heart and full head when our Lord preached. He was the prince of preachers, and no preacher since him has ever attained unto the abilities of our Lord. His eloquence far outshines anyone else. And we know that. But, of course, he's the Lord of heaven. He's the Lord of earth. He's the Lord. He's our Lord. No man can match him. So don't ever worship a man who is with great eloquence speaks the gospel. I have been endeared. I hate to say I worship men over the years, but there's been certain men that I have read that I've loved. And that's all right, but they don't hold a candle to our Lord and our Savior. And as we enter into this pursuit of saying never a man spake like this man, and we look at it just for a few minutes, it's an endless quest because we can never come to the end of the eloquence of Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the Son of God, the Son of Man. He's the one that can say to us, "Go thy way. Thy sins are forgiven thee." He can say that. Nobody else can say that. He brought light and immortality to light. He declared that which is gracious, which saves souls and glorifies God. He declared it. And no preacher was ever laden with so divine a message as Christ Jesus our Lord. Now I reflected upon, well, how do we personally receive these things? Never a man spake like this man will. You take to bear your own personal recollections of divine speaking into your life. I can remember mine as almost as though I heard a voice, even though I didn't hear a voice. The eloquence of our Lord when he brought salvation into your life and into my life. When he exercised in you and gave you the gift of faith that you might know him, walk after him. You could hear him speak, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Those words he says to us. It's in his word today. His written word unto us. And hallelujah, we have it preserved to us. But in that moment when you truly believe those words, it's almost as though he's there personally saying them to you. "Come unto me. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out," he said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah that the Lord says that unto us. Because so many times in my life and your life, you know and I know that I was worthy to be cast out. And yet the Lord says, "He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." So we have someone that we can run to. And you can see how those soldiers, their hearts were becoming endeared to this man who was speaking. Maybe one of them's name was Cornelius. I don't know. We don't know who these men were. But they came away saying, "Oh, we can't arrest this guy. Never a man spake like he spake." He says to us to turn. Turn, you. You turn. Today, you turn. Why will you die? Why will you continue on the way that you're going and die? Why will you do that? Turn and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe upon me, he would say. I look back and say, happy day when I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and live." Why will you die? I'm very thankful for that day. The Lord calls us. Through personal recollection, we remember these things. We remember these things. And then he was one also who spoke about the future. And hallelujah that he spoke about the future. He would say to us, "Come, ye blessed of the Lord, inherit a kingdom which is prepared for you from before the foundation of the world." Don't it make you want to shout? It makes you want to shout when you hear things like that. That the Lord, speaking regarding the last times, spoke of us inheriting a kingdom which he has prepared for us from before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah that it is so. As by man came death, so by man comes the resurrection of the dead. He would say things like that to us. Looking down the road of our lives, I've been a participant in many a funeral here in Hartsville, Tennessee. If I wasn't officiating, I was there. And watched them put a lot of people in the ground, and a lot of them, I believe with all my heart, we're saints, blessed believers in Jesus Christ the Lord. And I want you to know the Lord won't miss one atom of them. He will gather them all up in that day when he raises them from the dead and gives them a new glorified and heavenly body. What a beautiful, beautiful thing our Lord spoke of when he spoke of the resurrection of the dead. He said, "You tear down this temple." And he was speaking of his body. "You tear down this temple and I will build it back in 3 days." Speaking of the resurrection that was to be. And you say, well, his message wasn't too clear right there. Those guys got it mixed up. Well, some did, but some didn't. Amazingly enough, the scribes and the Pharisees didn't, because they knew exactly what he was saying. Because they said, when they put him in the ground, they said, "Let's guard this man, for he said, in 3 days I'll come back." And guess what? In 3 days he came back. He rose from the dead. And his rising is the first fruits of our rising and your rising and me rising. Have faith in him today. I went to the nursing home this morning and I was singing. I think it's in the Red Hymnal, an old song. We hadn't sung it in 15 or 20 years. There's sometimes the old things just pop into my mind. I think the title of it is "Down from His Glory, Ever Living Story." Our Lord and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. To a manger I'm sorry, I'm losing all the words, but then the chorus goes, "Oh, how I love him. How I adore him. My breath, my sunshine." Can you hear, can you see those officers there that day? Never a man spake like that man. "My breath, my sunshine, my all in all. The great Creator became my Savior." I'm even failing on the chorus right now. "Beautiful old hymn. Beautiful old hymn." As I was singing the parts that I could remember this morning going to the nursing home, I was rejoicing in Jesus Christ the Lord that this man who came, Jesus, the very Son of God, came and lived and walked among us to give us life. And we're to receive it. Don't reject it. You run toward it. You don't run away from it. You run to take it. You run to receive it. He says unto us, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." He says that unto us. He says that unto you this morning. So does somewhat think he said it unto those guys that day. We don't know what the message was. If you hearken back just a little bit, from verse 46 to what we first began on, he stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So you come to him, for he has the words of life. Never a man spake like this man. He has the words of life. You hear him this morning. If you're here today and you haven't believed upon Christ, believe upon him today. His command flies at you. Believe upon Jesus Christ the Lord today. Today. May God bless you. Thank you for hearing me. May God bless you.